I'm glad love is blind, or I never would have married my wife. She would have never married me. That's what the deal is. I'm glad the Lord smote her. Help her to see something beyond. All right, Matthew 24. How many of you know we're in the end times? Verse 3, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ, and will deceive many. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So how many of you know these things have already, we've already seen so many of these things. These are the beginning of sorrows. Then, everybody say then. Then they'll deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You'll be hated for all nations for my name's sake. And that's happening. You know, people are martyrs for the name of Christ. And then, everybody say then. Then many will be offended, will betray many, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will arise and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Pastor was praying about the love flowing in the body today and the importance of being a part of the body. It's because of the love of God that's needed. And he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. So all of these things are involved with the last of the last times. And the goal of it is to get the gospel out, and then the end will come, right? Amen. But now back up to verse 10. And then many will be offended and will betray many and will hate one another. And, I wanted to, I've shared some of this before, but I really, as I was reading and just reading the Bible, God downloaded this in me to share with you His will to prepare us for the end times. And that is, I just want to share a simple message with you, how to walk free from offense. How to walk free from offense. Because he said in the end times, many will be offended. And that keeps us, in fact, you can do, and I've shared this here before, and this isn't, what I'm going to share with you right now is not my message, but it's good for repetition's sake. It said, then many will be offended. Now look at the digression or the downward spiral of what happens when we yield ourselves to offense. And then many will be offended, and they'll betray one another. Everybody say betrayal. And will hate one another. Everyone say hatred. Then many false prophets will arise. Say false prophets. And then deceive many. Say deception. Then because lawlessness will abound. Everyone say lawlessness. Then the love of many will grow cold. Everyone say cold love. And see, all of these things are the results of Christians, just like Christians sitting next to you. Look at the person on your right and on your left. Okay? Did you know that person on your right and your left who is doing just great right now in their walk from God, or in their walk with God, they could become offended? And they actually could digress in a downward spiral in their soul and end up betraying you, hating you, doing lawless things toward you, walking in deception toward you, putting a knife in your back, walking in cold love, all of that. That person sitting right next to you has the capacity to do that. But you know what? More than that, that person's sitting right inside of you. Has the capacity to do all of these things. Now listen. He says here, look at it, but he who endures, verse 13, he who endures to the end shall be saved. What endure what? Endure the temptation to be offended. And then the gospel will be preached throughout the ends of the earth. Listen, guys, the gospel is going to be preached through those who don't allow themselves to tolerate offense. The gospel, God is going to entrust the gospel that will reach the ends of the earth to those who do not allow themselves to tolerate offense, betrayal, hatred, deception, cold love, lawlessness and cold love, all of that. God's not going to trust people that yield to that with this precious gospel or your ministry being promoted to the degree that it needs to be promoted. Now, you know, I haven't pastored 50 years, so I still have a ways to go. But I pastored 27 years, 24 in one place. That's an anomaly. I don't know if you know that. And your pastor, what he's done is, and what the Lord's done through them is an anomaly on steroids. And praise God. Thank God for their example of faithfulness. Amen. Thank God for that. But now, after pastoring for that long, and then also helping to oversee a Bible college. Now in Colorado, we have over 600 Bible school students. And you see, people are the same everywhere. And they come in all excited. They're all excited. They heard the word. And they come in and they're excited. They watch Andrew on television. They come in and they hear the wonderful grace message. And then they come in and allow themselves to become offended because we have rules. In a Grace Bible College, we have rules. We have rules because you have flesh. That's why we have rules. We have rules because not everyone yet is yielding to the Spirit of grace. And they want to step on one another. And no, you have to have boundaries and things like that. But what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter what scenario, doesn't matter where you go, doesn't matter who you follow, you're going to find Christians that get offended. They become offended. And then when they become offended, all of these things happen and they end up entering into a time warp of their pain and their offense. And they become unusable and set up on a shelf where God wants to use them. I'm not saying He can't use them at all, but they cannot promote them because they'll just, you know, regurgitate that offense and they'll promote more of who they are. Now notice this, that it says in, look back at verse 10 again and in verse 11, then many will be offended, many will become offended and betray one another and hate one another, then many false prophets will arise. Do you know that false prophets start as true prophets and they arise from the place of becoming offended? Did you see that? False prophets just don't happen out here somewhere. False prophets are developed through the category of people who go through stuff in life and then they don't process their offenses, and then they become They started off true. That's why you can see some people, what happened to them? I can tell you, just read the Bible right here. They got offended. And they didn't process their offenses. Now, how many of you have ever been offended? Wait a minute, get your hand up. How many of you ever been offended? All the rest of you, I'm going to have an altar call for liars. Look at Luke chapter 17. And I want to show you something that the Lord showed me out of this entire chapter that's just, I mean, how many of you know when you read the Bible, there's more to the Bible than what you read before? Man, just reading the Bible, it's awesome. Hallelujah. Luke 17, verse 1, then Jesus said to his disciples, it is impossible. Everyone say it's impossible. That no offenses should come. Okay, let's just stop there. It's impossible to live your life and not have offenses come to your life. They're going to happen. Now look at me. Everybody look up here at me. Quit this nonsense of tolerating this mindset of, I just can't believe that so-and-so would do that. I just can't believe they would invite me to their party. I just can't believe they forgot to call me. I just can't believe they did this. I just can't believe they did that. I just can't believe. Stop it. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. I can believe it. You know why? Because they're not perfect. I can believe it. You know why? I've forgotten too. I can believe it. You know why? I've messed up too. I can believe it. You know why? I've become self-absorbed in my life too. I can believe it. I can believe it. I can believe it. Because I'm not a perfect human being. I don't mean it. I didn't intend it. I said things I wish I could. Oh, Lord, get it back in my mouth, please. I said it and I'm kicking myself, beating myself, and you know, and then I don't have time all the time to apologize to everybody. But you see, we have these expectations on one another, especially our spiritual leaders. And I'm not making excuses for mistreatment or abuse, but I'm just saying we make mistakes, we forget, we overlook, I can't possibly. I mean, that's the inadequacy that I feel when I'm in leadership. Lord, how am I going to care for all your people? I can't even care for myself perfectly. I've got to have you, Lord. And so I realize what I've got to do is begin to cut people some slack. Yes. Give people some mercy. Yeah. Overlook and not have all these, you know, overt expectations on one another. Because, and I'm not just saying that for their sake, I'm saying it for mine, because I want to finish well. I want to get to the end. I want the Lord to entrust me with preaching the gospel to the ends of the world. And in order to do that, I cannot allow myself to tolerate offense. Here, Jesus said, listen, it's impossible that offenses are not going to come to you. They're going to come to you. They're going to come to your house. And they cut your legs out from under you. They hit you like a low blow. You know what I mean? I mean, it hits you and your head is where your feet were last. I mean, I had one this past week in the wonderful place where I'm serving. And it's because I can believe. I don't make those lying statements. I can't believe they did that. I can't believe. No, believe it. I just believe it because they've got flesh. But you know, you weren't expecting it And then boom, you just got chop blocked spiritually. And then so, you know, you're down on the ground spiritually. You, what do I do? You're tempted to, man, I'll let them have a piece of my mind. Show them. They can't talk to me like that. They can't treat me like that. Don't they understand? Then, and then you go through this whole litany of, you know, my rights and what belongs to me. And I can't believe they would do that to me. And, you know, and then you're going through the whole thing that Joyce Meyer talks about. You ever seen her do this? What about me? 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 Well, surely the whole kingdom revolves around you, doesn't it? And I just, we are in the end times, guys. And I just decided, you know, I've refused. I'm not, the enemy is not going to use me as a vessel to propagate offense. I'm not, offenses will come, but I'm not going to become offended. I said offenses will come, but I'm not going to become offended. Offenses will come, but I'm not going to become offended. I can decide that. You can decide that today. We've got to make a decision, guys. Offenses are. Was Jesus telling the truth here? That offenses will come. Man, Jesus, that's a negative confession. No, that's just the truth. If Jesus said they're going to come, they're coming. I said they're coming. The question is, how are you and I going to process them so that they don't stick? So that's not our address. So that's not who we become. Because if we become offended when offenses come, then we're going to go through what Matthew 24:10 and following says, we're going to become, you know, deceived. We're going to hate many. We're going to betray many. We're going to become false prophets. We're going to become people who propagate cold love. Offenses come, but if you become offended, God can no longer trust you with His precious gospel. And guys, it's time that we grow up as a church and realize when Jesus said they're coming, that means He's trying to prepare us so we don't become offended when offenses come. Look at your neighbor and say, I know he's talking to you. And you know, my wife and I don't enjoy that too much now. You're enjoying that just a little bit too much. But my wife and I have been through spiritually, been through some things. In fact, our relationship, because when offenses came to us, and I've had these things come, but in a major way in 1994, which was 20 years ago, by the way, and I hadn't got one bit older, hallelujah. At least my wife hasn't, praise God. But our church had just exploded in a town of 5,000 in Decatur, Texas, grew from about 60 to 400 in 3 years, and I mean we were just exploding, and then some people decided they wanted to take advantage of that growth, and we had a $9 million lawsuit. It was a frivolous counseling lawsuit that got dropped later, but because of that lawsuit, then people, you know, we were on the front page of the Wise County Messenger. Pastor is sued for $9 million. Now, you know, you're going to believe the pastor, right? If you're in that town. No, you're going to believe the worst. That's what everybody, you know. So, in fact, my daughter looked at that and said, Daddy, I didn't know you had $9 million. Praise God. But in the midst of that, then a group of people decided, you know, they were going to try. They wanted to take the building, and, you know, they went and left, and my worship leader left and took a third of my congregation. And, you know, when I'm here at Calvary one time, the Lord said, don't worry about it, son. He said, you're in good company. My worship leader took a third of my congregation too. And so during that time, I mean, people that we'd given ourselves to, poured our lives into them, and they'd, you know, basically, well, you go to Walmart. I mean, that's the shopping place in Decatur. That's why I don't go there anymore. Because you run into everybody. But, you know, they would turn around and just walk off from you. It wasn't just the fact that they left the church. It was the relationship. And so we were hurting. We were, you know, we were just... In fact, they sent two letters out to as many people as they could, basically lying about us, and hand-delivered them to our house and gave one to my wife separate from me. Like, for example, like she didn't know me or something, you know. No, they didn't know her. She was about to, you know, I had to hold her back, you know. But so Janice goes to Joy and said, Joy, they're talking about us. They're writing letters about us. And she said, oh, honey. Joy was told Janice, oh, honey, you know, we all say and do things that we're ashamed about later. We regret later, aren't we? And that was good advice, wasn't it? To not allow us to become offended because of what everyone else did. And you know what? I decided, driving back and forth here to these revival meetings, to the early morning prayer meetings, all these things, to pastor staff meetings, to, you know, just get counsel from him. You know, I just made a decision. Lord, I don't know how to do this, but I'm presenting my heart to you to heal it, so I do not become offended, so I don't pour poison and cynicism out on your people. And I'm telling you guys, God did that for us through our relationship with pastor, through our relationship with Calvary, and then God has since helped us to do that, you know, with others. And I'm telling you, it's possible to navigate through the difficult waters of offense. And I know that, listen, I know that this isn't just for someone that you're going to give this CD to. And it could be an employer that just, maybe they hired some, maybe your employer hired someone and promoted someone above you. It could be someone at school. It could be, you know, someone made a choice. You've been serving somewhere. Someone made a choice of someone else for select them for that role of ministry, and you wanted that role of ministry. You believe God put that in your heart? Well, how many of you know someone else's promotion is not going to stop you from God's promotion for you? And I've just made the decision. Offenses are going to come. But when they come, I'm going to recognize them with God's help, and I'm not going to get stuck and become offended. Amen? Now, here in Luke chapter 17, this is what the Lord just, you know, we talked about at the beginning of the year, fresh revelation, increased revelation. You all remember that? Well, this was fresh revelation to me, just reading this chapter. You know, many times, if you just read the book and see how it connects, it will help you deal with the principles he's talking about. So here he said, look, it's impossible that no offenses would come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and thrown into the sea, that he should offend one of these little ones. Then verse 3, take heed to yourselves. Everyone say, take heed to yourselves. You know what that means? Pay attention. You can see it all throughout the Word. In Acts 20:28, in Galatians 6, 1. Other places, it means to take a pay attention to yourself. Because, listen guys, if you start to become offended, some of the things that Matthew 24 talks about will start manifesting. You'll start becoming short with people, rude with people, harsh with people. Cold love will start, you know, deception. You'll start avoiding church. You'll start avoiding relationships. You'll start, you know, all these things that, you'll start hating things that you loved before. All of these things that you see in Matthew 24, he said, look, take heed to yourselves. If you connect that with Matthew 24, you can start checking yourself out. And not only that, I make myself accountable to other men of God to speak into my life. If I start getting short with people, if I start manifesting less than kindness or goodness, or you know, if I'm not considerate of other people. You know, the world is not listening to what you say many times because of what you do. They're watching how you treat one another. They're watching how you treat your husband. They listen when you're talking to your husband or your wife on the phone. They listen while you're talking to your spouse on the phone. They listen. They watch. And they can't hear your message. If your message isn't powerful enough to cause you to put a little sweetener in your relationship quotient, then they're not going to listen to your message. It doesn't have any power. Good preaching, Pastor Greg. Hallelujah. But now watch this. I just want to show you through Luke 17 here. He said, listen, it's impossible that offenses are not going to come. They're going to come. But then he deals with several principles here that have helped me. Things I've done through the years have helped me to walk free from offense. He said, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him or confront him. If he repents, forgive. Everyone say forgive. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And I want to add one to that. We're to forgive not only like this, if someone comes and asks us to forgive them, but even if they don't. We're to forgive as God in Christ forgave us while we were yet sinners. Now the first step for you and I to walk through and process offenses when they come so that we don't become offended, the way we walk free from offense is we just make a choice. I'm forgiving all the time. Everyone, all the time. That doesn't mean I feel good about it. It doesn't mean it warms my heart when I think of them. I mean, I'm still angry. I'm still, you know, man. But the bottom line is this. I've chosen to forgive as He forgave. How did He forgive? While He's hanging on a cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Everyone say that. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Yeah, they do. No, they don't. Yeah, they do. They knew what they were doing. Yeah, they knew what they were doing, nailing his hands and feet in a tree. They didn't know what they were doing spiritually. And those people, they didn't know. All those people that did all that to Janice and I and wrote those letters, they didn't know that that was going to drive us to the cross, not away from it. That was going to draw us to our relationships with God and where we're stronger and better and bigger instead of smaller and worse and all that. Amen? They didn't know that. They didn't know that the power that's working in us is greater than the power that's working in them. And they didn't know that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. And if they could hang an innocent man on a cross and he's my Lord, then you know what? I can go through whatever I've got to go through and not revile again. and not bite someone's head off again, and not try to retaliate again. Yeah? And I've just made a decision. If I'm going to process offense, I've just made the decision. I don't care what they've done. I mean, I care at the time, but the bottom line is, no matter what they've done, they're forgiven. They're forgiven because, listen, guys, what someone has done to you or didn't do for you is not greater than what Jesus did at the cross. And I've shared this before, but it's worth saying again, okay, you and I, if we're going to get through what are our offenses, we've got to value the cross greater than our loss. We've got to value the cross greater than our pain, greater than what people have done to us or said about us or whatever our reputation is or how they destroyed that or whatever. It doesn't matter. Listen, nobody can take from me what Jesus gave to me. God spoke to us about, we pastored 22 years in church in Decatur, and God spoke to us. He had a new assignment for us. And I've shared this story before with many of you, but just going to give you the Cliff Notes version. And we were on the board of a large African ministry, and they were looking for a CEO. Long story short, I became the CEO of that organization, and the president was gonna transition in a year, and he's since transitioned, but you know, during that time he hadn't, and we were gonna take 6 months to a year, and I turned the church over to a son in the faith, Pastor and Joy and Charlie and Lori came. You know, we had Andrew spoke on, we had video and all kinds of wonderful things in the spirit of what we're going to do on the 50th, okay? And so I took over that ministry, was over that ministry 7 months. We turned the church over. Then 7 weeks later, the president calls me in and fires me, terminates me. And we never had a cross word with one another. And the bottom line was, he just wasn't ready to turn it over. But now, you know, I'm 39 years old and got to find a job. 39 plus. I was actually 59 years old and I'm looking for it now, you know. I mean, but you know what we did? We went to our relationships. We went to our relationship with God, with Pastor, with Andrew, Paul Milligan, other people we're close to. And I said, look, guys, here's the deal. We're going to take a month. And we're going to make sure, we're not looking for a new place. We're going to make sure and look inside and let God show us and keep our hearts right. Are you listening to me? So, that didn't matter how much I regurgitated that event. There was nothing I could wrap my mind around for any reason. I mean, it was just ungodly. And so we just made a decision. We forgive. Everybody say, I forgive.
I forgive.
Every time.
Every time.
Everyone.
No matter what. I forgive.
Every time. Everyone. No matter what.
I forgive.
Every time.
Everyone.
No matter what.
Because what
they did to you or didn't do for you is not greater than what Jesus did at the cross. So I just, that helps me. That principle. And see, he said, look, offenses are going to come. And then he just, I never saw this. He takes the entire 17th chapter and points out principles that help you and I walk free from offense. The first thing is forgive. Everyone, all the time, no matter what. Amen? And then look at verse 5. And the apostles said to him, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you'll say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots, be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you having a servant plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he's come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, gird yourself and serve me till I've eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, when you've done all those things which are commanded you, say we're unprofitable servants, we've done what was our duty to do, and implied, he said, do not even expect to thank you. The second point to help process offense is to serve in the kingdom without expectation. I'm serving because God commanded me, because God called me, because God commissioned me, and where I'm serving, I'm not expecting anything from men. Not even a thank you. If you want to walk free from offense, when it comes to men, expect nothing and be thankful for everything. But see, that's really not true with most of us. And that's why when offenses come, we become offended, because we really are expecting something. Now, I'm not talking about don't expect from God. I'm talking about with men. No, I expect big from God. But I can't afford to become offended. And men are going to let you down, guys. I got news for you. They're going to let you down. But you know what? I'm not going to stop serving. I'm going to keep serving. And I'm going to keep serving where God assigned me. I had a pastor. I oversaw this group of pastors in the Decatur area. And I had this pastor one time came to our group. And we'd ask all the pastors. And we said, listen, let's commit to one another. We're not going to leave our churches until we bring it to this group of pastors and help us to process, you know, what's going on. So this guy came in one time. He said, I'm leaving. I've been here 7 years, and they don't appreciate me. They forgot my birthday. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. They forgot my anniversary. I just finished 7 years. They didn't even say a word about it. Now, on and on. Well, they should have, shouldn't they? Okay? But, you know, I'm thinking to myself, I wonder what he's forgotten about honoring them. But then we just let him, you know, kind of, you know, spew out his offense. They didn't do this. They hadn't done that. I'm leaving. On and on and on and on. I finally said, okay, let me just ask you a question. What if Jesus would have done on the cross what you're doing right now? Well, Father, or in Gethsemane, Father, I got news for you. This bunch, they're not worth dying for. They had to remember one of my birthdays. I mean, they forgot this, they forgot that, they hadn't done this, they hadn't done that. And what if he'd been on the cross and acted like you are right now? Well, he had a legion of angels he could have called to get him down. What if he would have said, I don't deserve this. This isn't right. This bunch isn't faithful. They don't care about me. And he would have come down off that tree. And then I just asked the pastor, I said, listen, who sent you there to that church? Well, God did. I said, well, did God tell you to leave? No. I said, you better not go went somewhere. You better make sure you're sent somewhere. You, God assigned you there, and you know, if you leave there just because they didn't remember your birthday, I mean, I'm sorry about that. Let's all write Brother Bill a birthday card. That's what it's about, isn't it? Everybody remembering our birthday. Again, you know, it just helps to contextualize everything. Listen, guys, people are going to forget you. They forgot Jesus. And he's our master. And he still died on a cross for people that didn't deserve it. Aren't you thankful? You know what? When we go into a situation to serve, I don't care whether they promote you, if they recognize you, if they compensate you, whatever, or they don't. I'm serving as unto the Lord. How about you? Amen. And I've just made that decision. And I've got the airport in sight, so don't get nervous. We're going to land here in just a moment. I want to finish this. Is this okay?
Yes.
See, we've got to make a decision. I'm going to serve with no expectation except from God. If I'm going to not become offended, I've got to forgive everyone all the time for everything, no matter what, and then I've got to make a decision. Where God assigned me to serve, I'm going to serve, even if they don't recognize me, promote me, compensate me, or any of that, or thank me. Look at your neighbor and say, I know he's preaching to you now. Then, you know the story. Then it goes right into the 10 lepers. You know the story. I'm not going to read it all. There were 10 lepers that came to Jesus. Verse 14, we'll pick up the story. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was, they went. As they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down in his face at his feet, giving him what? Giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And then we go on down and read that his faith, which was expressed in thanks, caused him to be made whole. The others were healed where their ears had been eaten away, or their nose or their fingers or toes, that they were healed and it stopped, but this guy was made whole. He was restored whole as before. Now, you know what caused that? Being thankful. And so you know what will keep you from becoming offended? Is just being thankful. Lord, I thank you for my spouse. I thank God that anybody would live with me. I'm thankful for my health. You know what happens is when offenses come, we get sour in our attitude. Being thankful will turn that around. I could go on, but I'm again. I've got the airport in sight. You've got it right. Being thankful will keep you from getting sour grapes spiritually. Just thank God for things as good as they are, that you have life. I mean, it could be worse. You know, you're asking God, why did this happen to me? Why did you let me? Why? Listen, when you get to heaven, you're going to be doing a lot of this. Oh. Ah. You were good. You were right. You were fair. I'm just helping you out now because you're going to be doing a whole lot of that then. So just be thankful. Everybody say, be thankful. You know what? I jumped one point. Okay? No, I didn't. No, that's good. I'm just reading my Bible here and I didn't write all these down. So then look at the next point. I just have two more points real quickly. You guys can read this yourself. Listen, this is all in the context of Jesus said, offenses are going to come. Now here's how you not become offended. How do you walk free from offense? Then now verse 20. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Say, the kingdom of God is within me, and the kingdom of God is not offended. The nature of God is in you. The love of God is in you. The power of God is in you. And let me tell you something, guys. None of that is offended. It's not his nature to become offended. It's his nature to love, overcome evil with good, and to see the best. It's his nature to focus on him instead of moi in the midst of your offense. And I mean, again, these are just, you teachers, you can just elaborate this, okay? That's powerful, isn't it? The nature of God is you. And you, the real you, is not offended. Selah. Then finally, I'll just read this whole segment's talking about the end times. You know, don't look here, don't look there, about where Jesus is, because again, he's on the inside of us. Look at, we'll pick it up in verse 28. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on that day, Lot went out of Sodom. It rained fire and brimstone, and heaven destroyed them all. Even so, it'll be in that day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who's on a housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. Likewise, the one who's in the field, let him not turn back. Remember, Lot's wife. When offenses come, don't look back. Don't bring up the past. Don't stir up the, you know, you got to forgive. You got to give thanks. You got to serve without expecting thankfulness. The kingdom of God's on the inside of you. Don't look back. Don't focus on what they've done. Don't focus on how they treated you. Don't focus on, I understand it hurt. I understand it didn't make sense. I understand, you know, it didn't, you couldn't wrap your brain around it. But I'm telling you what they did to you, again, I'm saying, what they did to you or didn't do for you is not greater than what Jesus did at the cross. I'm not living in the rearview mirror of my pain. I'm not singing with Barbra Streisand the way we were. I'm rejoicing with the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And you and I are victors, not victims. And I'm not the victim of someone else's oversight in my life and someone else's oversight in my life or their abuse. Their neglect nor their abuse can keep me from being a messenger of the kingdom of God in these last days. And I refuse to let those things stick. Are you with me? We have landed safely. Praise God. We have arrived at our destination. And our destination is offense-free. Our destination is keeping our hearts free from offense so we're usable in the kingdom. Amen? Because we forgive all the time. Everyone all the time. Because we make the choice, no matter what, we forgive. We make the decision that we're serving unto the Lord, not for what people can give back to us. We make the decision to be thankful. We make the decision, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I have His nature. The kingdom of God's on the inside of me. And the kingdom of God and the nature of God and the love of God are not offended. Amen. Amen. And then I make a decision. I'm not looking back. I'm not living in the rearview mirror except just to thank God for what He's done. But I'm not focusing on what people have done. I'm moving forward. I'm moving ahead. Calvary Cathedral, it's time for us to pick up and move forward. It's time for us to shine. It's time to arise, shine, for the glory of God is in us and upon us, and we're offense-free, and we're a people that are going to propagate the gospel throughout this land. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Stand up on your feet and give God a shout. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, give Him a shout. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.